there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Word to your mother.
You clearly have something on your mind. Thanks for coming to Two Cool Moms. I'm Joe Gatto.
It's fine. I'm Steve.
Steve's got something on. Dude.
Yes, what?
What's the problem?
There's nothing. No. What?
I feel like you've got an ish.
No, we're getting ready to go, and you're always on your phone. You're not present. I'm right in front of you. But
I was on the phone trying to get answers or to get questions, because that's part of the...
No.
That's what we do.
You saw something, and you were upset. And I wonder what that is.
I love you. Thank you for joining.
Hey!
Do you think that...
Yes, I do.
Oh, I was going to say, do you think that people don't like you?
I do. Well, that too. I think about things... Like when I'm in bed, okay?
Here we go. Sleep at night. Is that how you sleep?
In
your coffin?
I go like this. I go like this. Mm. This is just for effect. I go like this. And then I think, what was it like to be the first guy to throw a boomerang?
Don't do my bits.
What?
Because now people have heard it and I can't tell that joke anymore.
What's, come on.
I'm unlike you. I mean, I don't milk stuffer. You know, here comes sausage party. So you've been doing since the late 90s.
She brought me a horse cock prison fuck toy. Yeah, okay. What were you going to say, though?
I was going to say, do you think about me often? Because when we're not together, because you and I'll get random like FaceTimes and texts from you about like stuff. Like I think about you all the time. Like I'm always like, oh, Steve would love this or whatever. And I was wondering, like you'll FaceTime me at like 1:30 in the morning.
Well, yeah.
Sometimes. And you'll be like, this guy Frank I met loves you. I'm like, America loves me, Steve.
He's the first one, Steve. You've been on tour with me, you dipshit. Yeah. I apologize for that, but I've been known to indulge in the spirits on occasion. Yeah, so that's where that comes from. So I apologize.
One of my favorite stories, though, about that happened was you...
Mm-hmm.
The guy got us the driver, right? So you met somebody in Florida,
yeah,
and then they end up coming to my show, and me and Jiggy got effed with a car. We didn't have a way to get a car, so I sent the gentleman a DM and said, would you mind driving us? And we hired him as our driver.
Yeah.
And he drove us, and he was super cool.
He drove you. I mean, it's so crazy to think, oh, Two Cool Moms. Oh, my God, Steve. Yeah, hey, hey. Yeah. Oh, you love Joe? Yeah. He's like, more than you. I'm like, great, okay. Hey, okay.
True.
Hey, Joe is so-and-so. And he's like, oh, my God, you made my day. 2 weeks later.
Yeah, I gave him tickets to my show, then he came.
He is driving you across the state. That's crazy.
Crazy.
I was just reading this book.
A book.
It's called Life on the Mississippi. And this gentleman talks about his experiences of wanting to literally take a flatboat and go down the Mississippi and see it as flatboaters did back in the day when...
What's a flatboat?
We're expanding into the West. And so basically flatboats were used anywhere from Pittsburgh to Ohio, and anybody, farmers, fur traders, whatever, they basically get on flatboats and go and float down to New Orleans, which was the major port back then. Mm-hmm. I think New Orleans now is like the fifth largest port in the world, right? So there was a huge port of commerce where shipping and trading with everybody from there, right? So there we go. There's a flatboat, and they were made back in the day. And this guy wanted to kind of explore that point of history and go. And along the way, he's just telling you about these cities he's going to, these ports, these old port towns, whatever. And yeah, I don't know. It's really just heartwarming because people just want to help.
Yeah.
People want to help somebody from out of town. And the whole time he's going through, he's stopping in different cities and different ports, and people are bringing him cornbread. They're saying, oh, we have a thing at the church service, or, you know, oh, you guys want some breakfast? I got some eggs. And farmers are bringing them things from the farm and just loading up the flatboat. And every city they went to, it kind of makes you turn off the news, right? Stop getting involved in the left and the right of it all. Like, I think people inherently have a nature to want to help. And to your point, they want to be kind. And I think that you see it all the time on the road. And so 100%. This guy that just sees you, and he's a big fan, now he's driving his favorite Joker across the
One of my favorite stories is when me and the boys, we wanted to go see a movie. And this is when the tour just began. We're in the middle of nowhere, staying at like a Red Roof Inn. And we wanted to go see a movie, and there was no way to get around the town. I think it was even might have been just like as Uber was hitting, and there wasn't Uber in this town or whatnot. And the girl was a fan who was behind the front desk, and we were talking. I was like, oh, there's a movie playing. She's like, yeah, the theater. I was like, is it walkable? She's like, no, it's like 5 miles away. And I was like, oh, you, what time are you work until? And she's like, oh, I work till 7. And it was like, you know, it was like noon or whatever. And I was like, oh, and I was like, so we can just borrow your car then. She goes, yeah, I guess. I said, okay. And I just stood there. She went, okay, so I'll go get
saying
my this, keys.
Are you saying it as a joke? I was saying, are you kicking tires?
I was kicking tires. I
you
was
really were. Okay.
And then she gave us her keys, and I was like, all right, I'll drive it. I got it, and me and the boys
took
this wonderful lady's car. We filled it up with gas. We brought it back. We gave her, you know, we gave her some money, and we said, thanks so much. We paid her what a taxi would be.
How
you know,
cool is that?
It was so cool. But people, like, do things like that. So now I always... You're never going to, you know, you have to always like try to kick the tires, as you say, right? You have to ask people for help if you need some.
So
it's kind of fun to see. But now as comedians, it's like, what can we get away with, right?
Right. Well, no, you especially. what can we get away with? I remember the first time I was in Nashville, I was stranded at a diner. I forget what happened. I'd been drinking. And I was at like some diner off the beaten path, whatever. I was definitely sauced, but... You know, hanging out, I was talking to this guy at the counter, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, I didn't have a cell phone at the time. I mean, this is how long ago I'd been doing it, maybe a year or two in, and I'm calling for a cab, and the guy
goes, payphone in it.
At a payphone, right. And the guy saw me, he's like, are you trying to get home? I'm like, yeah. He's like, just get in the car, I'll take you home. I was like, really? He's like, yeah. I was like, you sure? He's like, this is what we do around here. And I remember, I always remembered him saying that. I was like, it's such a nice thing. It's comforting.
Yeah, there is a part of that's like stranger danger.
But then he pulled me in the hotel and he said, nothing's for free. And I go, well, what do you mean? And he unzipped his pants. And I was like, oh, God, no. It was quick.
Yeah.
It was quick. But yeah, that's,
but
how
you're
doing
home.
That. That's how they do it in that town. Yeah. I got home.
I don't, like, there is a thing about that where, like, you have to be careful. Of like, I find that fine line when you're teaching kids about, like, there's this woman in my apartment building that loves to give candy to my kids.
Okay.
When she sees them.
Yeah.
I don't know her. She's in my building. I've seen her a lot. She has a dog. We talk here and there. She's an older woman. And she, you know, so I was taking the dogs for a walk right out front, and I'm, you know, the dogs are right in front of this glass windows, and the kids are waiting inside because it was raining. So I'm looking at them, and here comes the woman. She comes over and she gives them candy. And I walk in, and she was like, oh, I gave him candy. You know, he's like, enjoy that candy. It's okay. Don't tell your dad. Like, one of those. Like,
sure, yeah.
You know, and I was like, yeah. I was like, it's nice and sweet that happened. I was like, right. But then, like, it's weird, too. I don't want my kids taking candies from strangers.
Right.
You know, so it was like, I wonder where that line is. And
Joe, you're never going to believe this, but Meredith's here. Meredith, can you come in, please?
Here she is. Here's your candies. But I wonder what it was like to live in a time, as you said, like the flatboats, where you didn't even have to think about that. That's just the way people were. People were nice.
Sure.
People wanted to help. You weren't thinking people were dubious.
There was a real sense of community back then, I think, because you're basically pioneers in these towns that are bubbling up all across the country, and there's the hardships. I mean, look, if you're 12 or 13, you're working at that age. If you're a 14-year-old girl, you're getting married to somebody in 18, 19, 20.
Making farmers. Yeah,
literally.
Yeah.
The life expectancy was so much lower. I mean, life is crazy, and I think the more you delve into the history of America, you see how, you know, these days it's so kind of in fashion to dump on, you know, pioneers, and they're coming over here and they're expanding into the West. But you really read about it. It's a fascinating period of time. And I don't know, it just makes you appreciate all the innovations. And I just think the hard work that those people had to literally build a country up. I mean, you go travel around the world, people really forget. We've only been around here for like 200 plus years. Yeah. It's nuts.
Then in comes the snake oil salesman, and he ruins everything.
There you go.
Here you go. You got headaches. You got polio. Take this. Let me rub this smelling
herb on you, and I'll see you
wake up in the morning. You'll be fine.
And he's gone.
And he's gone. He's in the wagon onto the next town, and he ruined it for everybody.
By the way, great idea though. I mean, if you were back in the day, you could get away with anything. You come in on that wagon wheel. You got your infomercial set up for everybody. You know, pay me up, and then he's gone.
He's a scrub daddy of the West.
By the way, great. The one of the best shows, Shark Tank.
Did you ever fall into any sort of like? Were you around for the magnets? when people are like, oh, if you sleep with this magnet pillow, it'll help get rid of your migraines. Or, oh, you got arthritis? Put this magnet elbow strap on.
Well, they have like the things for your knees and the socks and magnetized. Magnets, you see the commercial.
Mattresses.
And the magnet, it's like rippling. Yeah, yeah. And I've never bought in. I don't know. Does it work?
Well, I didn't really buy into it. My my brother-in-law did hard, and he became like a magnet salesman for a minute.
No.
Yeah, and he was selling magnets.
magnetized fabric?
Like,
can't even say
it. I swear to God, he was selling magnets. He sold my aunt a magnet mattress.
No.
I swear to God, magnet infused mattress. Like, he was doing this. And he's like, hey, man, you got to get on this magnet business. And I was like, do I? I was like, I don't know if it's, you know.
Does it work?
I don't think so.
Have you tried it?
It's gone away. It was a big thing on the island for a while.
But so you did try it. What ails you?
Everything. Look at me.
No, come on. Do you have back issues?
No, you mean to try to sell it? No, I never tried it or tried to sell it.
You never tried it? Okay.
No, this is when I was way younger and in way better condition. I'm like in my early 20s.
Yeah.
Why do you look so surprised? Because I was in better condition?
I'm trying to imagine Joe Gatto at peak condition, like peak Joe Gatto.
Birth. What? Downhill from there.
All downhill. What was the best shape you've ever been in your life?
Round. the best shape ever. when I lived in LA for a hot minute, like 2003, I did okay.
I was doing
little push-ups. I lost some weight.
But then
I lost too much weight because I couldn't afford to eat. And I came home and I looked all emaciated and sick. So I think it was like 15. It was probably about 2 weeks in 2003.
You're doing the hiking. Yeah. You're going out at night.
Yeah, I was running the track.
Button a shirt up to here. That's it. Let it flow.
I never had muscles.
What's going?
Never had muscles.
What was your game like in LA?
Good.
Going out?
Yeah. No, I was more
making it happen. Where'd you go in LA?
In LA, I didn't really do an out and about as much as I did at the house. Have people over. I did a lot of house partying. I did a lot of because we lived in a fun house. It was me and Justin.
Yeah.
A couple other friends, and we would have people over. And I worked a lot. I worked at Nordstrom a lot.
Did you ever pull a number at Nordstrom's when you're working?
Yeah.
Is that frowned upon?
Well, they have to give me their number to log into the system. Like, what's your rewards number? And then I have their number. And I'm like, hello.
But you never called that.
I did once.
You did once?
Yeah, I did
really?
Once. Well, she told me, she's like, well, you have my number, like that. So I did that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And how'd that work out?
And we went on a date or two.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What happened physically?
Insertion. Light insertion. It wasn't a heavy insertion. It was a light insertion. No, I didn't really. I was only out there for 2 years.
Light insertion.
That's such a great saying.
Yeah.
It wasn't bazonkers out there.
Yeah.
it wasn't bazonkers. You know, bazonkers years was in New York.
Now, let me ask you about the word bazonkers.
It's banana and bonkers together. It's just something the kids say. It's bazonkers.
Bazonkers, okay. Yeah.
So my life was bazonkers here in New York before I left in 03.
Yeah, yeah.
Before I left. Those are my bazonker years, I would say. My most bazonkers.
And how bazonka did it get?
It got bazonka zonk. No. I don't know. I never really had girlfriends, you know?
Because you were just such a pig.
I wouldn't say pig. I would say a guy who
you couldn't help yourself.
No, not really.
You were on a hot streak.
No.
You're going to ride it out.
No, I was very...
Aren't you Joe?
I was pretty funny and just...
yeah.
No.
Yeah, did they appreciate the jokes after you left?
No,
that's
always,
when the laughter stops and the tears start.
The tears began, yeah.
And
yeah, we had
a couple
criers.
That's not bazonkers.
That's bazonkers. The opposite of bazonkers. it's bazonkers, not us.
Bazonkers, yeah.
Yeah. I think I had never had, but you had like serial, we spoke about this, but you went relationship to relationship, right? A lot.
I had a little hot run for a while.
Wow, yeah.
I mean, when I started doing stand-up, it was like I was fresh out of college.
Oh, yeah.
And as a guy that never really did well in high school or college... I was like you in LA.
It was bizarre.
Dry spell. So I then all of a sudden you're doing stand up and you're on stage in New York City
and
then all of a sudden it kind of started clicking. So I had fun for a while and then it just gets tiring. It just like how many times are we going to have the same?
It's exhausting.
Same eight conversation. Same like. I was dating so much that I was just like, I had it down to a formula.
Gotcha.
Okay, here's the questions I'm going to ask. I never wrote it down or whatever. It was just like, this has always worked in the past. I'll just keep doing this.
Gotcha.
And then you know, there'd be light insertion,
like some heavy insertion,
slight insertion, some
is there insertion,
rapid insertion.
Rapid.
Sometimes I was being inserted upon, and I was establishing I don't like insertion,
a no insertion zone. I will say, the if you look at like dating and how it's been throughout the years, we're talking about the pioneers, right? And now you look at how like people date today.
Sure.
Could you imagine, like, you're like, hey, you want to come on this boat with me? They say yes, then you're married. Like, that's how it happens back
then.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
You know, is that crazy?
There's no Facebook.
I know.
Like, back in the day, it's like...
Right, you go on one date, and then, like, that's your
dating
bro,
in the 70s?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, yeah, this is Marie. She grew up down the street, and we got married at 20. It's like, yeah,
crazy.
You didn't have Facebook.
No.
I mean, can you imagine...
You dated Louis in your high school.
See, we didn't have apps.
No, we're pre-apps.
How bazonkers would it have been?
Yeah.
To be on an app and just scroll and hit and say, meet me at... Here. Like, if I had an app when I was in my 20s and I'm like, hey, meet me at the Comedy Cellar tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bring a friend or two if you want, or we'll meet up, we'll have some trip. I mean,
it's just easier.
I'd be going bazonkers.
You would be bazonkers. Yeah. But the thing about you that you did with stand up, and I think that is that you'd have a fresh crop of people to speak to each night, right? You'd have different, or each twice a night, you'd have a different room of people.
Five,
right?
Five different, yeah, five I would do four or five.
So you kind of were doing like a real time, like a not a speed dating, but like as a, you know, you would have people would have seen you and you get exposure to these people. They get to see you. They think you're funny or not, cute
sure.
or not. And then they could approach you or not.
Yeah.
So, but there's like people that would just like, if you're, I guess this happens a lot to people like in service industries too, like waitresses. I had a couple waitress friends,
sure.
right? That were like, they always got hit on because there was always somebody new coming in.
Sure.
They always met a lot of people that way.
Yeah.
But if you're like in an office, if you're in like the 80s and you work in an insurance office,
yeah.
like it's those 12 people you work with.
Yeah.
Right?
Brutal.
It really is a numbers game.
It's a horrible pool. But as a comic,
like my parents met because they worked together. They worked together. My mom and dad worked in the same office.
And dude, how great
was
dating when you worked at the baby store?
Oh, the baby store was great because you know they put out. Thing I think with that, though, is like my parents met in their office, right?
Yeah.
And like, I feel like there was a whole generation of probably our parents and just before our parents that people either met at work
right
or went in their like school and that was it
sure or church
right so or could the community another... I'd
yeah
say.
Yeah yeah
you're not really going outside of any of that. People aren't going away to college. People aren't, you know, it's...
No, and all the three, I would say the three like real relationships I genuinely had in my life were three, you know, including Jess, obviously, the last one.
I hope that's in the numbers.
Those were
That'd
all...
be odd if you left her out.
Oh, yeah, her?
The three plus my wife and children.
The three when I was smiling and happy. Those three were all long distance. All the relationships I had that meant something and were worthwhile in my life were all long distance. I never had one where somebody lived in the city and it lasted more than, you know, a while to be really genuinely significant.
I was a big long distancer too.
You were?
Yeah. Me and Bessie were long distance for a year and a half before she moved to New York. She was in Cali.
Like, and now things come full circle.
There you go, full circle. Yeah. Now
you're long distance.
Long distance. Well, short distance. It's short I only live a couple miles from the house.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting to be like, you know, to that, because I think there is a something like the opportunity to miss somebody is big.
Right,
and then
right,
long
yeah.
distance back in the day, like you only got to know people by like talking to them on the phone or like FaceTime.
Right.
And you would, even before FaceTime, like you would just, you're just, all you had was talking. And that's how you really get to know somebody, right?
So
you spend time on the phone is really how you're doing it. So I think that's why you felt so connected to those people.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's, you can do all these things on the phone still, right?
100%.
But I'll never forget, I think one of the best parts of Citizen Kane is the reporter, for those of you that know or don't know the film, they're trying to figure out the significance of Rosebud, which is Kane's last words before he dies, right? So these reporters are figuring out what is Rosebud? That's the whole film. And so this reporter goes and he's talking to his accountant, Charles Foster Kane's accountant. And he says, do you think it could be about a girl? I'm trying to figure this out. It doesn't seem like it. And he said, very well could be. You know, I'm paraphrasing. I don't want to butcher the dialogue because it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
But he's basically saying, you never know who it could be, right? He said, I was on the ferry coming into the city, and there was this beautiful girl in a white dress, and I saw her. It lasted no more than maybe 2 minutes, and there hasn't been a day that's gone by since I saw her a month ago that I haven't thought of her.
Mm.
And it's like, wow, that's such a great...
Yeah.
It's so relatable, and I think if you live in New York City, or if you ever have lived in New York City, I think you have that experience at least once every few days where, you know, when you're single, especially, you're on the train.
Missed
you're like,
encounters. It's a whole section on Craigslist.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Misconnections or whatever.
Gwyneth Paltrow had that movie, Sliding Doors, about seeing someone in the subway. And the whole movie was about what would happen if she didn't and what would happen if she did.
Yeah.
It was such a
It is such
film.
A thing. It's the what ifs.
The what ifs.
What if we answered a question?
Nice segue.
Let's get into it.
Here we go. This is coming to us from Alexa. Alexa gets right to the point.
Okay, Alexa.
You ready for this?
Yes.
Seriously, guys, whatever the fuck, I cannot decide and I need guidance.
Okay.
Okay? Without context at all, please help me and answer yes or no. Thank you.
Ah!
So, we're her magic eight ball. This was all caps, by the way. Half of this was in all caps. So I think it's important. I don't know what she's saying. I don't know what the context is, but I know it is significant. And she just needs a simple
yes or no.
Now, if it was not all caps, I wouldn't take it as seriously. But it seems like
she's in a dire situation.
Yeah.
And she needs a yes or no.
Yeah.
So we're the flip of the coin.
We're the flip of the coin.
Now, tell me what your gut is right now. Don't say it, but remember right now what your gut is to say.
Yeah.
And now let's discuss a couple things, okay?
Go ahead.
Let's put one in. Should she buy this pair of shoes that she saw on Adidas.com that she really likes that are on sale for $49? Okay. Yeah. And then on the other end, should she pull the plug on her grandmother? There's a whole array of possibilities.
Does the grandmother like Adidas?
Here, well, the grandmother has the promo code, but let me get to it. So, like, there's a whole array.
Yep.
Now also put this in your head. Like, I want her to have to act upon what we answer. I want her to keep her deal.
She has to keep. Alexa, you've got to come through with us and let us know. Okay.
Yes.
This is so bazonkers.
It is the most bazonkers thing that's happened so far on this episode of Two Cool Moms.
Okay.
So now what's your instinct telling you before we had that conversation? Is it the same or have you changed?
Well, I when you throw it out like they're like that, right? Yeah. There's context, there's significance.
Yep.
But I think I, by nature, am someone who leans a lot more positive.
I lean to the yes.
I'm gonna lean yes too.
I say yes.
Were the Jim Carrey movie Yes Man?
Yes, I say yes.
Yeah, I say yes.
I say yes, and I hope it's the sneakers and not the grandmother.
Yes. Yes. I'm all in on it.
All yes.
And we hope it's good advice.
There's got to be a follow-up. She's got to let us know what it is.
You've got to let us know what this is.
And you need to act on a yes. It's got to be a yes.
Okay.
Great. I love it.
That was a good one. Okay. Hey, moms.
Hi.
From Avery. First off, thanks for being the best mothers and helping me through hard times. Joe, especially with the Jokers and Steve. Comedy? Is that what you do? But here's the question.
That's not what it says.
Steve, comedy? Is that what you do?
She put the emoji, though.
But here's the question.
Okay.
I want to go to college out on the East Coast, mainly Brooklyn, but my mom is not the most supportive about it. She wants me to stay in Minnesota. How do I approach the subject of what I want, of me wanting to be independent and to go away from my family? By the way, Steve, you are also amazing.
Oh,
she's very sweet. She brought it back.
So
Avery, I would say this is your moment in time. You've got to do what's best for you. This is the beginning of
she's paying for it.
Well, even if not, this is her moment to be independent.
Nobody can tell you what to do. She's not independent if they're paying for it.
But if this is where she wants to go, I think she's probably found a school that is specializing in something she wants to do. Why would she choose Brooklyn from
Minnesota? Maybe she wants to get into a big city out of a small town. Could just be that. It doesn't have to be about the school. You're making assumptions. For me, the major ingredient here is who's paying for it. If you got a scholarship or were able to take out a loan and you're going to pay out your own thing and go East Coast, you're going to the East Coast. You don't need your parents' permission to do that. So to me, it seems like her parents are paying for it.
Yeah.
So then they tell you where to go.
I'm of the different mindset. I say go to Brooklyn. I say load up on debt in your 20s. That's what it's all about. Make mistakes. Have fun. Get out here. Experience life. You've been in Minnesota. It's fucking freezing.
The weather is going to make you leave.
Oh, my God. Have you ever been in Minnesota in January?
Ugh.
Fuck that. Oh, my God. Jess's parents live up there. We've been up there for the holidays once, and I was like, I'll never do this again.
Yeah, for sure.
Never do it again. No. It's, yeah, they, by the way. Like, at their house, I think I told you, the first time we hung out over the holidays, they brought out sheet music and sat in a circle. And the one cousin brought out a guitar, and I was like,
God,
fuck
no
this.
Way.
Fuck all y'all.
I tread
out in the snow. It was like eyes wide shut. I was like, see ya.
Done.
Yeah. I went right
sheet
to her.
Sheet music with a good guitar?
Yeah.
Just recipe for disaster.
Did you ever see that movie About a Boy?
Yeah.
Hugh Grant?
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, and Toni Collette and the boy are sitting there at the piano singing Killing Me Softly, and they both close their eyes, and he's like, I can't fucking do this shit. Like, that's exactly how I felt. I was like, oh my God. Sweetest people, nice people. That's
I remember the first
tradition.
Time a guitar came out for me. I was, his name was Rolf, and he took one out in Philadelphia.
Joe?
Yep. His name was Rolf, and we were in Philadelphia, and we had brought a couple birds back to the flat. And
Joe,
this is I'm in my early 20s, and we brought some birds back up to the flat, and we're hanging out. It was bizonkers, and we're all talking. And he's from England, and he's like, okay. "Oh, let me." And he took out, and I didn't even know he had one. It was a brother of a friend that was staying with us, and he took out. He starts fucking ding, 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 and uninvited, and he didn't even come out with us. We brought the birds back on our own. He was just at that bird house, and he just starts playing and singing, and it just got really weird.
And is that the first time you fell in love with Oasis?
I did.
Yeah.
They were my Wonderwall.
Now, what happened with Rolf? Is this real?
Yeah. I was not real.
Yeah.
I was not real.
And you didn't know him. Mm-hmm. That's the great thing about
me. It was my first time meeting him.
Like a single guy, you're out and about, and just when things matriculate the right way, you're out with another dude who you don't know.
It was the brother of a friend who I was working with.
But there's that unspoken camaraderie like, dude, we're going to help each other. You don't have to say it, but we're all helping each other out here.
And it was this guy's brother, and he was like, let's get the fucking sexy on, and he took out his guitar. And
was he good?
And was he bad? He was good. Yeah, he was good.
Man,
his name was Rolf. You can't be bad.
There's this guy, Andrew Broderick. Drew Broderick, sorry. I was in acting class with. Mm-hmm. I mean, a gorgeous man.
Yeah.
He was undeniably gorgeous. He had the hair pulled back. He was a really charismatic, handsome guy. And we go out, and we're having a great time. We end up back at his place, and he's like, let me get the guitar. I'm like, you motherfucker.
Oh, on top of it all, he can play the guitar.
Yeah. He had a three-way, and I went home alone.
Oh.
He was that good.
Wow, he played the panties right off him.
He played, literally.
Wow.
Unbelievable. It's like, are you a personal photographer and candle maker as well, you fucking asshole?
Steve's over there being like... So I just flew in from Detroit. Boy, my arms tired.
I'm Korean and Irish. I'm Caucasian and Asian.
anybody want to do some sausage party?
Can you play Usher, asshole?
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's how good he was, though.
I wish I could play an instrument.
What would you play? Flute.
Yes, most portable.
What would you play?
I would play a piano for sure. Yeah. I'd love to be able to. Because I always wanted a house with a piano in it, but I would love to sit down. And I tried to make my daughter play piano lessons, and she took to it for like a year. And then she was like, I don't want to do it anymore. So she stopped doing it. I'm hoping she'll pick it back up. But I'm not, I think a piano would be nice to play and sit down. And there's something about like sitting down, and if there's a piano there and somebody starts playing it, there is like an excitement. Like, oh, do you? Like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, you actually can play.
Yeah, cool. So also the only one you don't have to bring with you.
But the rule of thumb is if you can play piano, you can play anything.
That's what they tell you?
Yeah.
Because you use your thumbs?
I don't know.
You just the rule of thumb.
The chord progression. Oh, it's bazonkers, man.
Bazonkers.
Okay. You ready?
Yep.
This is coming to us from Roxanne. Mm-hmm. Please help me keep my name anonymous. Oops.
Start again. I'll beep it. Go ahead. I'll just beep it.
Didn't really vent this as well as I thought it did.
I'll beep it.
By the way, I mean, it could be any Roxanne.
Don't say it again.
I know.
Now you give me more beefs.
There could be 100. There could be. It's like, I didn't say your last name, but it's like, hi, my name's Steve. Keep this anonymous. Well, there's a million Steves out there. Right. Who gives a shit? Okay.
Well, maybe it's the context of the question. And that's all the person needs to put pieces all together. Let's get into it.
Okay. Hi, moms. I love the show. This is a 2 or 3 parter.
Oh.
We're just going to take 2.
Okay.
How can a guy you've known for so long, married and had a kid with now, seem like a total stranger? We tried counseling with different professionals, had his family and my family reach out to him. And heck, even my mom seems to stick up for him more than I. I work full time and have a part-time job. And he just has a part-time job and treats me like crap. I'm done. And I think I need to come to terms. I need to go ahead and file for a divorce. So let's...
So what's the question?
Okay, that's the kind, I guess.
She said everything she needs to.
Part two. My mom does not see how she negatively affects me and will never admit it. Somehow, I still always want her opinion. What gives?
Oh, okay. So, all right. So, what gives? Well, the first part really didn't have a question. She's just letting her know what's going on.
I guess she's getting divorced.
Okay. And she said her mom didn't agree with it. So, then the second part is the opinion. What gives?
But her mom negatively affects her, but she still wants her mom's opinion.
Oh, I mean, that's just human nature, right?
Yeah.
That's just from growing up. I mean, but you're smart enough to realize you don't need it because you're acting, you're going to act on things that she doesn't agree with anyway. So, I would say just keep doing that. You're looking for your mother's approval. You're not getting it, and you're still existing.
Mm-hmm.
So then just remove the part of where you're waiting for her approval because you're still existing. And you're still living.
Yeah, I think most of the time we inherently know what's best for us. You're just kind of looking for reaffirmation.
Exactly.
Right? You're just going, even
you want somebody
you
in your corner.
It.
You want somebody saying, that's right. So
yeah.
Somebody could help lay down the mattress if you fall, right?
Yeah.
You know, somebody could just be like, oh, well, that didn't go the way we wanted.
But it's fascinating because when you're listening to somebody plead their case, make their case, right? I mean, rarely are people truly objective about the situation, right?
100%.
It's just like, and he did this, and he did that, and he did this, and he did this. And it's just like, well, okay, well, what did you do? Like, what did you do?
All of us.
Exactly, yeah. And I think if more people were more objective, you'd get an honest opinion. But I think, again, at the end of the day, you know what's best for you out of self-preservation. Subconsciously, you know what to do.
It's all hard. It's hard to try to make a decision by yourself because there's two ways to approach a decision, right? Your decision is either that you get counsel from people that you trust.
Sure.
Or no. The other way to do it is just go with your gut, as
yeah.
they say, right? And I don't know how often they're not the same answer. I don't know how often
True.
They're not.
Yeah.
So why even involve other people and just, you know, what's best for you.
Yeah.
So try to do that. You know,
I agree with this. I don't want to make a correlation like professionally, but you always go with your gut, right? You go with your Jiminy Cricket, your conscience. You know what to do best for you. But I think as you get older, if you're still mired in like situations that are redundant, you got to break that cycle at
For
some
sure.
point. And
if you
so,
still face, if you keep getting faced with the same decision or same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's not to bring, but like professionally, my career, I've just always done the same thing, like on stage as a comic. And it was always good enough, but not great. You know, I was always getting work and doing, but I was like, I got to think outside the box, do something different. Thus, the special we worked on. And it was only until like having the self-realization to go, okay, well, do you want to go ahead and do another hour? Do you want to do another thing that you've done four of them?
Right.
And they are, each one of them has gotten you exactly to the same point, to the same results. And it wasn't until like I just took the time to take some self-realization to go, I need to make a pivot here. I need to do something drastic and force myself to think outside the box and recalibrate my career and challenge myself.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until that point that now, you know, doing this thing, it's like, okay, well, we'll see if it works. I don't know. But at least I took the onus upon myself and held myself accountable, because if I didn't, then things would just keep being like that.
Yeah.
I'd just be at that same level.
From a professional standpoint or from a fulfillment thing, you'd be just giving people more of the same.
Yeah.
Where here you're able to give them something different and also something you enjoyed that you showed even more of yourself than you would in a comedy special, because it is quite personal what you get into too.
Yeah. And I think that's the difference between like, take for example, and I'm not like, I'm just like reflexively thinking about like Will Ferrell, right? Mm-hmm. Will Ferrell has consistently been hilarious and funny, but it's kind of the same, you're banging the same drum in every scenario. Bruce Willis was guilty of that. Every action film, it's like, what's the difference between Die Hard and, you know, the war films he's done? He's still like smirking and kind of cold and cool. And then you have somebody like Jack Nicholson or Leonardo DiCaprio that just constantly make these hard pivots. Johnny Depp, like, you know, how do you go from Pirates of the Caribbean to like really dark indie films that he's done where he's on an Indian reservation? You know, it just like, I just think that those people have survived because they've made hard recalibrations in their career. But I also think that bodes well personally too, because when I was dating, it was just like I felt so unhappy. And even though you're trying to go out, you're trying to meet a girl, you're trying to have somebody in your corner 2 a.m. to go home with, and then just like, what is this? Like, it's just not healthy,
right?
You know?
So it's the way you approach it, I guess.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't think seeking other people's approval has ever led to a good. It's never a good motivation to seek other people's approval. And so it happens, you know what's
the best? When a good friend pulls you aside and goes, hey, fuckface,
you're doing this wrong.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
You're doing this completely wrong. That's when it's the best time, yeah. I think, to get.
I think that's what you listen
unsolicited.
To. Unsolicited. And it's when it's somebody that you know cares about you is saying something, you should listen.
And that is bazonkers.
That's bazonkers.
Okay. This goes to us from. Do you want to tell everybody what bazonkers is?
Say that it's banana and bonkers, bazonkers together, but bazonkers.
Okay.
It's catching on. It's what all the kids are saying. It's wildfire.
You ready for a bazonkers question?
Go ahead, hit me.
This is coming to us from Tay.
T-A-E?
T-A-Y. Tay.
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 You ready?
Tay.
Okay, Tay says, what's going on, mommies? Love the podcast. I listen to you all the time while I'm at work.
Uh-oh.
Question, what's the craziest, funniest experience you've ever witnessed? This is Dante.
Wow.
Craziest or funniest experience you've ever witnessed? I'll tell you, last night when we were at dinner and you told me that Jeff Johnson story.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
That's one of those things where I wish I was there.
Yeah.
Because that sounded
That's definitely up there. Definitely up there. Even more than that was the recap. So we're on tour. Our tour manager, Jeff Johnson, it's me, Sal, and Murr. We're downstairs in this.
Jeff, just for context for everybody, you know the look somebody has before they're about to hit a deer? Like, that's what Jeff Johnson looks like every day, right? He's just kind of like...
Deer in headlights, like something's about to happen.
And usually it's because of you. You address your tour manager as, hey, fuck me.
What are we doing? Yeah. Lovable, sweetest
guy.
Such a great dude. And so he was... It was the first tour weekend we're touring with him, and he's writing a check out for us to pay us for the weekend. It's a nice take home for us.
As you said, this is the first big legit check you guys have ever made in your careers.
So Sal and Murr downstairs doing the settlement with him, and he's going through it, and he's writing the check out, and he starts to sign the check. And as he's talking, he starts having a bit of a cough attack, and he starts going, you know, he's like, well, you know, this could have been better. And he just powers down, pen in hand, and he just sits there and dies in front of us. So then Murr is sitting next to him, and he shakes his shoulder, and he's like, Jeff? And then Sal jumped up and ran. And that night we had played the Hoyt Sherman Theater.
Yeah.
And Sal's brain disconnected, and he ran and grabbed the courtesy phone of this hotel's conference room, which we were borrowing downstairs, to call the police.
Yeah.
And he picks up the phone and goes, get me Hoyt Sherman into the phone. And then I jumped up and did like a half seatbelt fake Heimlich, where I was just grabbing him, and I was just basically shaking, like lifting him, while his mother was going, Jeff? And I'm just doing this. And Sal's called Hoyt Sherman. We're freaking out. And then he comes to. He wakes up. Still was holding the pen. Wakes up and goes. And he sees me hugging him, Murr white, and Sal like almost in tears. And he looks at him and he goes, oh, it happened again, didn't it? That's what he said. And we found out that he had this condition where if he coughed and tried to talk through it too much, he would lose oxygen and faint. And it's happened to him a bunch. It was like a bronchial thing.
Yeah.
And he failed to mention that to us ever.
Yeah.
And the day before that, we were all driving in the white van, like a runner van, which we had rented. And he was driving, and we were all like napping, and he was coughing driving. And then I said to him, so that could happen while you're driving? He goes, yeah, it's happened before. Oh, I was like, dude, my life is in your hands. That was bazonkers.
That is genuinely bazonkers. Yeah,
that was very funny. And so the thing that was the funniest was the recap when we got in the elevator and we went upstairs. We just sat there. The door shut, and we were all still in disbelief of what had just happened. And then I just turned to the guys, and I was like, Did you guys see how he just shut down? And I just started doing impressions of him dying in front of us, recapping what had happened. And we were on the third floor of this hotel in outside the elevator. I was holding the elevator door open, and Sal had gotten off to get on his floor. He was laying on the floor screaming because his side was in pain, side splitting, yelling at me to stop. Murray was punching me and stop. And I just kept going. And that was one of the hardest I think we've ever laughed as a group over our 30 years of friendship.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That was crazy.
Jeff Johnson. And he still works with all you guys.
Oh, yeah. He still works with
me. The nicest guy. Works out of Iowa.
Last weekend. Yeah. He's the best.
You talk about the son?
Jeff Johnson.
And the strawberries?
Oh, his son always steals my fucking strawberries in the green room. He just eats my strawberries. It's like a joke with us. It's like his name. He's got his son's out 17 now, but he was like 12 years old when he used to come in. And we were just all sitting there talking. And I look over at the table, and it's like the Blair Witch Project, where he's just facing the wall, and he's just chomping on strawberries. And he's taking the green pieces and putting them back in the plate.
It's so
and
I'm like, disgusting. What is this?
And I said, Jeff, could you get your son to stop eating my strawberries? And yeah. He just would look at me and he would jump like a rabbit.
That groundhog video. You ever see the groundhog video that's like pissing off the farmer and eating all of his food in front of him? God, that is so funny.
That's my story. It's straight bazonkers.
That is bazonkers. Yeah. I think my craziest. I don't think I've ever told this story on the
pod.
Did I ever tell you the story?
Over 40 episodes, so you may have. But let's hear it.
Did I ever tell you the story about the fight in Phoenix, Arizona?
In Phoenix?
Yeah.
No, the one in Milwaukee you told me about.
No. Okay. So I was in Phoenix. This is the craziest.
This is funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm with Sebastian Maniscalco, right? Okay. We meet these girls. We're hanging out all night. Have a great night. I dip off with the girl. We hang out. We hook up. I come back down. Sebastian's still hanging out with his girl. I don't think they ever made it to his room. They were sitting at the pool the whole time. And that's how always Sebastian operated. He never it was weird. So anyways, the girls are talking, Sebastian and I are catching up, and the girl's like, all right, we're gonna take off. And I was like, well, let me walk you guys to the car. So we're walking over to the elevator to take them to the parking garage, right? Sebastian's like, I'm gonna get a cappuccino or whatever. So he's dipping away or whatever. So I go with the girls, and I'm running to catch up with them. They're in the elevator, okay? And as I walk towards them, there's five black dudes, okay, in the lobby. One guy is holding the door open, and he's basically trying to get the girl's number. He's like, come on, girl, give me your number. She's like, nah, I'm not going to give you my number. And he's like, come on, don't you want to hang with us? Give her a number, whatever. And then I come kind of like sneaking through and go under his arm. I'm like, hey, guys, you know, just wrapping up. I get it. You know, we're all just trying to have fun or whatever, just trying to make it smooth and nice. And the guy is just ignoring me. I don't exist. I'm Patrick Swayze in Ghost, right? Not there. So he's holding the door open. Beep. It's making that noise. He goes, come on, girl, just give me your number. She's like, I'm not giving my number. He's like, just give me your number. Don't you want to hang with this floss? He's holding up the chain. She's like, I'm not giving you my number. And he goes, well, I'm not closing these doors till I get your number. She goes, I'm not giving you my number, you. And then she drops the N-bomb.
Oh, my God.
And now, like, she says it.
Then he sees you.
Well, he did. He walks in the elevator. The elevator's been waiting. It goes whoosh, closes, okay? She's in the corner. The girl's in the corner. I move in. The guy comes in. We grab each other.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe this is happening. So we're kind of like wrestling.
Yeah, hockey fighting, right?
Hockey fight, exactly. Right. So I went for the shirt.
Yep.
I go for the jersey. I pull the jersey, his shirt, over his head. And now I'm like, I'm in an elevator in a confined space. You got to go for broke. And I'm just throwing everything I have at this guy. I'm uppercut, hit, bah, bah, boom, 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 boom. Hitting him. And he can't see. And he's kind of like, ah, shit, he's getting pounded. And he drops to his knees. And he goes, chill, dog, chill. I go, are you done? He goes, chill, dog. I go, are you done? He goes, chill, I'm done. So he gets up, okay? I kind of back off to the wall. The girls are crying.
Right.
This guy is standing there. He pulls his shirt over his head, and I'm sitting there going, he's going to come at me. He's going to come at me again, because now he's got his shirt off. He's ready. And I remember Sarah Smiles from Hall & Oates is playing. So if I'm ever in a CVS or Walgreens and I hear that song, I'm instantly in an elevator in Arizona. So I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, oh, fuck, okay, get ready. So I'm kind of like bracing myself against the wall, and he is staring at me, but it's not like he's gonna fuck me up or whatever. It's just like a weird thing. And you'll know this look because you get it every day. You go somewhere. All of a sudden, things start clicking for him, and he looks at me, and he goes, were you on BET's Comic View? I go, yeah. He goes, you did are you the Bruce Lee guy? I go, yeah. He goes, holy shit, no fucking way. What are you doing here? I go, oh, I was at the improv and hooked up with this racist tonight. So that's, now he's laughing. She kind of chuckles. He's like, holy shit, man, I think you're hilarious. I was like, oh, thanks, man. All of a sudden you hear, the elevator was stuck. This is the part I forgot to tell you. When we were rocking, we got stuck.
Right.
So that's why we're just sitting there in this elevator. So we knocked it off its moorings, whatever. So now we hear, so the elevator goes directly to the lobby. The doors pop open. His boys heard everything because we're like a floor down,
right?
They hear everything, the tussle, all this shit. And so doors pop open. All of a sudden, ping, ping, ping. I get jacked. My shirt gets ripped. He goes, whoa, whoa, guys, stop, stop, stop. Yo, this is that Bruce Lee guy from Comic View. They go, what? Oh, shit, that's the fucking Bruce Lee guy. The manager is there in the lobby. He's the one with the key that activated. He goes, I'm just letting everybody know I called the cops. They're on their way. These guys dip off. The girls get back in the elevator, go down. The manager is getting me a tissue because I'm bleeding here. I'm bleeding here. Yeah. My shirt is completely ripped and I have a tissue and I'm putting it to my thing. He's like, seriously, the cops are coming. Do you want to press charges or anything? I go, no, I'm okay. And then who do you think rounds the corner? Sebastian in all Adidas gear with like facial moisturizing cream. And he's literally holding a Frappuccino like this. And he looks at me and goes, what the fuck happened to you? It had been maybe 5 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
That was all in 5 minutes. So that's the craziest story on the road.
What a weird thing.
Crazy, yeah. And I left the guy tickets for the next show.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he come?
I don't know if he came or not. I didn't want to go back out there.
No.
Because it's like, I don't want to get involved in this or whatever. But
oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Straight bazonkers.
That is bazonkers.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us on Two Cool Moms. We appreciate you. Thanks so much for coming out to see us
on the road.
Lots of on the roads
That's
together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Soon, and then with Vegas.
Vegas,
ooh, Vegas,
January,
right?
15th.
We're going to be doing Thousand Oaks,
Phoenix. Vegas.
Boom,
there
boom,
is.
Boom.
January. Boom, boom, boom.
13th, 14th, 15th.
There. Boys to Men, ABC, BBD.
They'll be the Holy Ghost family will be coming. Thanks so much, everybody.
These two cool mommies love you, so show us some love.
Please rate us, review us, follow us on all social media, and subscribe to our YouTube.